Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
Thank you. So this Sunday, the fourth Sunday at Advent, and I feel God saying through me to you all, joy and love and comfort and celebration. And I think the general public feeling is not one of joy, celebration, love and comfort. I think it's probably one of white knuckle holding on. There is a sense, and at work as well, there's a massive sense of just hold on until we get to Christmas. You know, and I think we have a privileged position as Christians at this time because everyone is so fertile to hearing that message. But today, the message that God wants to give you all is one of celebration and one of joy. And maybe one where we say, Let's park our chores just for a minute or just for the next 5 minutes and maybe, you know, for today. I'm looking at Jill. Jill's like, there's no chance I can park any chores. But let's have joy. Let's try and kind of grab hold of that joy. I heard something today. No, not today. Earlier in the week. And I'm probably going to butcher this, but bear with me. We are Easter people in a Good Friday world. And that's been the biggest message for me this Advent, is the world looks to the baby born in the stable. We know what happened to the baby in the stable, and we are called to look for that future coming. You know, we have the victory, you have the joy, you have the celebration, and God says, let's celebrate. That was the message that God wanted me to give to you today. And I've just got a sermon now that I've just got to read, so you just got to bear with. But essentially, that's my job is done now. I'm just going to skip. Right. So the joy and love that we experience today and should seek out wouldn't be possible without the Christmas story, without the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not a massive one for tradition, and I've told you all that kind of before, but the joy the children from my daughter's school have taken from their nativities. So St. Albans, Grace and Joy were able to have their nativities and their choir concerts, and we were able to go. And you know what's so lovely? Joy knows the Christmas story, and it's really sweet, and she's been telling Max the Christmas story, hasn't she? Baby Jesus, stable. Baby Jesus, king, servants, baby Jesus. You know, and she gets it. And that's the power of the Christmas story. It's something we have every year. And it's stable. Obviously, there is a stable, but it's stability. It's security. And that is so important for children. Really, really important. And actually, that they've been able to experience it is just absolute joy. The story of Christmas is one of joy. And so today, we are asked to experience the same joy as that baby in Cousin Elizabeth's womb. Now, I had to look up and just make sure that that baby was John the Baptist, and I was right. So. But anyway, that baby leapt for joy, and we are told it twice in that passage. So Elizabeth thinks it, and then she says it to Mary. And I think that's really important as well. You know, Mary knew that baby had leapt for joy. That was a reaffirming again. And so we are all in wonder in the same way that Elizabeth was as to why we are so favoured. And Max's prayer, you know, that I would be blessed, and I am so blessed. You know, I am so amazingly blessed that I do say, why am I so favoured that the Lord should come to me and that the Lord should come to us as Emmanuel, as God with us? And now I think it's really clear that we get a really simple message as to why it's joyful that Jesus was born to us. And I think we know this, but it's just so lovely to hear it again. And we get that from Hebrews. And that text in Hebrews is quite dry because what it's saying is, it's saying how Jesus said something about a passage in the Old Testament about something somebody else said. You know, it's like literally 4 degrees of separation. But essentially what that passage is saying is that before Jesus was born, died and resurrected, the old law required our sins to be exonerated via blood, animal or burnt sacrifice. And I used the analogy at St. Thomas's. This is like cleaning an oily pan without soap. Or kind of scrubbing a muddy floor with just a tissue. And I've done that. It's not successful at all. There I am, tiny tissue, someone's about to come in, and I'm like, I've got to clean the house. And we are sinful beings, like that muddy floor. You know, we're imperfect. And we are full of our own self-importance, and we get things wrong all the time. And God knows this. God knows that we are sinful. I want to say something that's not actually quite right, so it's really careful how I phrase it. God knows that we aren't perfect, but we're perfectly made. And that's a really, really important point, in that God didn't make us knowing we would be perfect, but he made us perfect. And he knows that we're imperfect. It's not a disappointment to him. It's ultimately a disappointment to him, because he wants us to go into a relationship with him and he wants us to be more and more like Jesus. But the fact that we sin, he knows that. And so God knows it is only him who can forgive us, and it's only him who can remove our sin. And he does that over and over again. And he did this by bringing that tiny baby, his son, into the earth as God with us. And what joy that God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Because God is all powerful, and everywhere there is no son that and everywhere there is no sin he can't forgive. There is no sin too large for him to absolve. And I do think that stops people from coming to church, because they think, I'm just not that good. I'm just not good enough. You know, and that's joy, that we can have a God that can absolve all sin. And that joy to me, that no matter what my sin is, I will not be kept from the love of God and from eternal life with my Saviour in heaven. And what a gift. Absolute forgiveness. I was working on this talk this week with Grace, and we were reading the passages, and we were reading specifically Hebrews, and I was trying to explain that Jesus' death, a personal sacrifice, is a gift for us all to accept, and trying to kind of align it with the gifts that we get at present, gifts and the presents that we get at Christmas. Boom. And then I said to her that if we accept Jesus as our Saviour, we can be free from our sin. So we're really getting to the foundations of this now. And Grace asked, how can I accept this gift given by Jesus? And I was like, you know, what an amazing question. You know, it was an amazing question, because she was able to ask it, if that makes sense. You know, put into words what she was thinking. You know, so she says, how can I accept this gift being given by Jesus? And I was like, come on, Blair, don't lose this. And I spoke to her about prayer and reading the Bible. And then, not that I said, I'm about prayer and reading the Bible. You know, I don't mean to kind of disperse just like that. But in those instances, you want that something snappy. And I remember that there are prayers in the Gideon's Bible. I love Gideon's Bible. And that's kind of a bit of a sadness, you know, that will there still be Gideon Bibles now in this world of COVID? I hope that they will. I hope all the hotel cleaners are really cleaning those Gideon's Bibles. And I couldn't remember this prayer that I'd seen. And so I started kind of searching online for like belief prayers, prayers of belief, prayers of understanding love, prayers of wonderful giving, just really nice fluffy things. And then all that kept on coming up was the Church of England's penitence prayer and then a sinner's prayer. And I was like, I can't really give that to an 8-year-old because it's not very fluffy, is it? It's not very like, Jesus loves you, you're wonderful. You know, it's basically sin. You are sinful. And I was like, oh gosh. But actually, the more I kind of thought about it, and in the light of these passages, the more we need to almost own our sin, you know, and it's not right for me to say to Grace, fluffy, fluffy animals and doves, you know, she's sinful, I'm sinful, but there's a prayer out there that absolves us of our sin because of the glory of Jesus. So I said, well, Grace, there's this sinner's prayer. And that's the prayer that you can say that acknowledges that Jesus was born as your saviour because of your sin. And she's just such a sponge. She really is such an amazing sponge. And she took that and I do feel with Grace, now I've gone off my sermon now, just waxing lyrical in front of you all. It is a gift to be able to look after her because she's amazing in how, you know, she really sat alongside me with her Bible. And she's got one of these colouring Bibles that you can colour, like a journal. And it reminds me that I need to be public with how I'm reading my Bible. You know, and I think I remember travelling on the train when I used to commute in London, used to spot all the people doing their morning devotions on the tube. You know, and actually those opportunities where you can show your faith through witness is really powerful. So that was a reminder for me that, you know, she likes it when I'm reading her Bible because that gives her a chance to. But anyway, back on. So I hope you see the joy in knowing that you are a sinner, knowing that there is no sin too big for Jesus, and knowing that you can be forgiven by accepting the gift of Jesus's death, the sacrifice of his perfect life for your sinful life. And this is good news. I'd like to give you an opportunity to pray this prayer again. And it may be that you said this prayer a while ago, frequently or never. I never miss the opportunity to say a prayer. It could be anything. I don't think there's one point where you say, I said that prayer, so I don't need to say it again. I think that's really, really important. You know, I think, you know, like you wake up, it's a new morning, you know, and you thank the Lord for this new day. It's the same. You know, you thank the Lord that you're a sinner, but your sins are absolved. So I want you all to kind of have that opportunity to recognise that through Jesus' birth, there is joyful good news that our sins are forgiven and a life free from worry awaits us. And actually, I wanted to use that kind of simple model of prayer, the TSP prayers. I know Peter is a fan of the thumb hand prayers. I'm going to leave that with Peter because that's, I think you've patented that, haven't you, actually? Yeah. I think it's written like Peter Hall, hands off. No, I'm joking. Mine, well, TSP, cause, you know, thank you, sorry, please. So I'm going to say what my TSP is. And you actually, that might kind of think about what it might be for you in terms of kind of reaccepting that gift of Jesus and what that means for our lives. My thank you. Thank you. I am thankful for the Christmas story, for the baby who was delivered in that grotty stable to save the world. Sorry. I am sorry for being overtaken by the business of the season, rather than focusing my time on preparing for the birth of Jesus and for not being joyful. Please, Lord, may you show us your way, your truth, and your life. May you prepare in us a heart to follow you and to be joyful for the gift of Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.